This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Make real changes today. This is Flipping the Switch with Suze Casey.
Welcome. It's Suze Casey, and this is Flipping the Switch. And today's topic is rejoice in the new. So we've just are in the midst of the Christmas season. For those of you who celebrate Christmas, and the solstice has just happened, winter solstice, and much rejoicing as the 2013 comes to a close and we anticipate the beginning of a new year with 2014. And so today's topic is rejoice. And we're going to look at how we can rejoice in what our accomplishments were for 2013. And we'll be leading into some goal setting things that we'll be working on next week on the show. And today I have in the studio with me Eileen McGann, who's been becoming a fairly frequent guest on the show. So welcome, Eileen. Welcome back.
Thank you. It's always great to be here.
I really value and appreciate your input because, as listeners know, Eileen always brings a song. She's a singer-songwriter based on Vancouver Island in Canada, in British Columbia, Canada, right on the left coast, as we call it here. And her music is uplifting and wonderful. And we've highlighted some of it before. She's got a great number of great CDs, which you can find at EileenMcGann.com. But this one, which CD is Rejoice on?
It's on the album 2000 Years of Christmas that was done when I was part of a group called Trilogy with David Kay and Kathy Miller. And we toured a show called 2000 Years of Christmas all across Canada for about 9 years.
Right. And so, and that's the only place that Rejoice is on.
That's right. And it's available from CD Baby.
Okay, great. So I just wanted to let people know about that because sometimes people are asking where they can find stuff. But let's get into sort of the conversation that we want to have about Rejoice now that we've got that little piece out of the way. And we're going to do some repatterning with people. And, you know, the holiday season is often, I don't know about you, Eileen, but, you know, sometimes some years, not this year, but some years, I've kind of had a bit of a challenge over the holiday season because everybody else, you know, the whole world seems to be happy, except sometimes harumph, not me. Does that ever happen in your world?
Oh, of course it does. And it's a very natural thing to happen at the time of the solstice. It's the dark time of the year. It's the time when we get the least sunlight for those of us who are sensitive to sunlight, but also in a more cosmic sense, even for those who don't have SAD, it's a dark time of the year. It's a time for contemplation, for turning in. And there's also a lot of external pressures on us at this time of year to be happy and always rejoicing. And while we're running around and trying to do all sorts of family things, which often bring their own stresses.
Mm-hmm. And I guess we're talking from a very Northern Hemisphere centric perspective. So apologies to those of you in the Southern Hemisphere who are like, woo, middle of summer.
But midsummer, yay.
but for those of us on the Northern Hemisphere, yes, it isn't. You know, we're doing a pre-record today. So if you're trying to phone in, that'd be why it's not working, because it's a holiday in Canada, 26th of December, called Boxing Day. And the CTR is doing replays today, so and pre-records. So we are not we don't have any phone-ins today. But if you are wanting to call in and talk about any of this, certainly you can call in next week, and we would love to hear from you then. But this gosh, let's all be happy concept. You know, it, and even if you were happy over the season, then it's Boxing Day, and then there's just all of the, you know, it's done. And then there's all the kind of stuff to deal with. And so I think that, you know, our ancestors were really wise in saying, you know, let's look at a celebration of the return of the light on the 22nd, the 21st of, you know, on the 22nd, 23rd. And then let's, you know, the pagan rituals were there. And then the Christians decided that, you know, maybe we should just like tack Christmas on, since they're already having a party. It seems like a good idea.
That's
you,
right.
You have a bit more scholarly perspective on that, Eileen, and maybe you could share some of that with listeners, because I think it's, you know, from that, I know it's a while since you've done the 2000 Years of Christmas. It was a great show. I saw it numbers of times when it was touring, produced it a couple of times, but I know that you've got some kind of more of a more scholarly perspective on sort of that time of year. So is there something that you could share with that kind of how it came to be, how Christmas came to be when it is, and solstice celebrations? And
almost every culture in the Northern Hemisphere has a winter solstice celebration at this time of year. And in the Southern Hemisphere, of course, 6 months from now. But it's a liminal time of year. It's a time when the thresholds of the world get closer to each other. It's a time in the Celtic traditions for turning inward, for contemplation, for looking at the subconscious and the underworld in the dark times. And that begins with the fall equinox and continues until now, when it's time to break out from the inward turning out to the world again. And I think that's one of the reasons why New Year's resolutions come so easily at this time of year. It's what we want to do. We want to contemplate. Where have we been? And the dark times give us a time to do that. And sometimes I think there's pressure between all the Christmas rejoicing stuff and the presents and the outside culture, between our natural tendency to turn in and contemplate and think, and all the outward activity that needs to be done. And we need to find a balance there so that we don't get stressed about it.
Mm-hmm.
But all cultures have had a celebration at this time of year to rejoice in the returning of the sun. It's a big deal. Mm-hmm. When it gets darker and darker and darker, and then suddenly it's getting lighter and lighter and lighter. It's physically a big deal. It's spiritually a big deal. And there were so many different celebrations at that time of year. There's also many gods from the ancient world who had their birthday at this time of year. The actual date of Jesus' birth is not mentioned anywhere in the Bible. So when it came time to celebrate the birth of Jesus, it was natural for it to take place, to be chosen to take place at the time that there were already these celebrations, where something new is coming into the world, where there's a bright star lighting things, and the earth is turning and everything's moving from darkness to light. And for Christians, the coming of Jesus was that turning. Uh-huh. From a dark time to a bright time. So it just made sense to put Christmas at this time of year and join it with the other celebrations that were already going on.
Right. And you know, regardless of your, you know, religious perspective, as you say, there's a physical thing in the Northern Hemisphere at this time of year. And it's very interesting because I just came back from time on the Baja. So, you know, I was at almost, you know, like a few miles away from the tropic.
Gravity ensues.
Yeah, but you know, so it's very much 12 and 12 there, right, at this
right.
time of year, right? Because it's
yeah.
just they get a little bit. It's just a bit different. And so, you know, when the sun goes down, thunk, it's gone, and then when it comes up, boom, it's there, and it's 12 hours pretty much. And then I came back up to Calgary, and it's like, holy smokes! Like this time of year, we get like 8:40 or 8:30 or something of sunrise, and sunset is at like 4:15, you know, so we get like not quite 8 hours. And am I ever noticing the difference?
Mm-hmm. And for people who live in mountain towns like Banff and Canmore,
yeah,
they get like
even
3 hours of sun.
Yeah, even less. And so, you know, just the 3 weeks that I was away, I'm noticing the difference. And I'm just like, you know, I know that this show is being aired on the 26th, but we're taping it just a few days, you know, a week ahead of the solstice. And it's just like, I am so anticipating, because you can, even in that 1 or 2 weeks after the solstice, you start to notice it, especially when you're this far north. You know, it's like, whoa, wow. It's a little bit long. And I know there's always the excitement of, wow, we got to eat dinner tonight with the lights not turned on. You know, that happens in a month or so for us. And just that, but there is that kind of opening up and like, wow, what are the possibilities now that there's more light? And it's just, you know, we're creatures of nature still. And, you know, let's curl up and have a snooze when it's dark. So
right, that's a very natural thing to want to hibernate and turn in and contemplate at this time of year. And I think we should embrace it and not fight against it, but make space for the times of contemplation and inward turning, and make space for the family times and the shopping and the rejoicing and the parties.
Mm-hmm.
But give yourself a balance of those things to stay healthy and mm-hmm. on your feet.
Well, one of the things that I love doing that week between, you know, the 25th and the 31st, I tend to do a kind of year in review. Mm-hmm. You know, what's all the really cool stuff that happened this year? And I find that, you know, I'll go through my day timer or my online calendar. I go through my journal and I look at it and go, oh, because I forgot. It's like, oh, yeah, right. I forgot that that happened in February, or I forgot that that happened in April. And I like to look at the accomplishments and the things that I achieved and the celebrations that happened during the year and really put myself in that place, because I find that with the darkness and with the contemplation, there is that tendency to get a little bit navel-gazily. Mm-hmm. And then
it's easy for that to turn into melancholy.
Yeah. And then quick step into depression. Mm-hmm. And so I find that for me, that helps me really, you know, then move into the new year. And we're going to be talking about New Year's resolutions and things next week. But, you know, move into the year from a place of strength instead of a what didn't I get done and what do I have to change and what's wrong in my life? And let me make my resolutions from that perspective, you know. But if I can use this last week of the year to just do a, you know, kind of like, I mean, they do it on the television, you know, the top news stories of the year. Only I would suggest that you just do like the happy stuff. You know, the top news stories of the year in your life, that's from the upside of the line. That's the rejoicing side of the line, because the light is coming back and we can sit and look and go, let's take some of that light and just flash it over onto what are some of the cool things that happened this year.
Yeah. And if there's big things that seem to be on the negative side during the year, you can reframe it by asking the question, what have I learned from that? Mm-hmm. How am I stronger for that having happened? Mm-hmm. And how do I move forward from there in a way that makes me strong and feel like I'm a survivor and I have just learned and grown and I'm ready for a new year with new wonderful things in it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And there was because this time last year we were all doing the, you know, 2012 end of the world at the solstice thing. And you know, there was a lot of fear and people being concerned about what was going to happen. And, you know, my perspective was from the get-go, the Mayans just kind of went, okay, you know, repeat. Like, I'm only going to figure it out so far, you know, exactly. And also that it was the end of a way of being that I'm thinking, you know, how we look back in time, you've got a bunch of degrees in history and things, but you know how they have the age of the this and the age of the that and the age mm-hmm. of the something else. And I really think, you know, the dawning of the age of Aquarius, that song came out, I don't know, 30 years ago or more, I guess 40, because it was when I was a teenager. But I think that we are into that age now of that age of awareness and openness and consciousness in a way that's different, you know, and I really think that 2012 really did mark the end of a death of the way of things having to be logical and show me the proof. You know, I'm personally finding in this last year, the numbers of people who have opened up to a spiritual awareness, opened up to a recognition that there's more than just the numbers and the facts, you know, that they're realizing that there really is something else going on. I don't know. Have you discovered that? And as you toured around and spoken with people, does there seem to be more of an opening up?
Yes, there definitely is. And I think that's the one thing that's different. There's bad things happening all over the place. People are talking about the end times as they always have done. As you say, I've studied the last 2,800 years of history, and there's cycles of fear about the end of the world. And I think it's about a rebirth. Mm-hmm. It's not about an ending. It's about rebirth.
And maybe it's about
just
the ending
way
of
the solstice is.
Yeah, I think the ending of the way that we knew things to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and I don't think it's a problem with logic and facts. I think going against logic and facts can make us a little crazy, but it's saying that's not the ultimate. Mm-hmm. We have to go by logic and facts when we're dealing with factual things. We don't want our governments to forget about logic and facts, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to adhere to truth and what we have as best practices and best knowledge. But in terms of the way we move forward, we need to have a bigger perspective. Mm-hmm. And that perspective, as you say, it's growing. And that's the thing that's different. We're getting an international movement, or multiple international movements of people who are saying, well, there's something more here. There's something more that's important. There's more that joins us than divides us. And people are reaching out across national borders in a way that they've never done before in history. And the internet has helped us with that, obviously. And mm-hmm. we're saying we are all sisters and brothers. We are all in one spirit together. And together we can make a difference from the ground up, regardless of what the guys at the top are doing, regardless of what governments are doing. We are joining hands and spirits around the world in a whole new way, and that's a powerful force.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm just as you're speaking of that, I'm thinking of Nelson Mandela and his passing mm-hmm. this month, and you know how I don't know if there was a country that was not represented. You know, it just seemed like everybody was, you know, heading to this man's to pay their respects to this man who really brought forward a belief that we, you know, we are worthy. We are enough. We are complete. So when we work together in that kind of collaborative and cooperative way, I think that's, you know, that kind of age of the individual that we've been in, that kind of me thing it's now become we, you know? And I think that there's a difference I've sensed a turning in people and in just in perspectives.
The thing that was most striking to me about Mandela and his passing and the celebrations of his life was how heartfelt it was mm-hmm. on the part of ordinary people from all around the world. Mm-hmm. Usually when a head of state or a former head of state passes, all the kings and queens and prime ministers and important people show up. But it doesn't really have much to do with the ordinary people. Mm-hmm. But this time there was this heartfelt outpouring of mm-hmm. love and respect and admiration. And it just shows people see genuineness like they did in him. People see real leadership and love and forgiveness. And they heard him speak in the 20 some years since he's been released. And they've heard his words of forgiveness and of the brother and sisterhood of all humans. And they know he meant it. It wasn't mm-hmm. just politic talking. And mm-hmm. that outpouring of love was something that just shone around the world like a beacon.
Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that authenticity. You know, when we speak from the heart, when we're authentic, when we shine our light, it makes a difference. Mm-hmm. It makes a difference. You know,
and it's recognized.
Mm-hmm. I had a really interesting meeting when I was down in the Baja. I was there in January, and the place that I stayed, I drove through, and I know I would have told you about this, Eileen. I drove through miles of acres and acres and acres of basil fields. Mm. And it was so beautiful because I mean, I love basil anyway, and it's got such a great energy about it. And I've often this last year thought back to those basil fields and just, you know, when I'm having a moment, I just put myself back in and I breathe in and I smell the basil and I just feel the energy because like literally it was like from the highway into the beach where I was staying in January, it was about a 5 to 7 minute drive through all of these fields. So you can imagine.
So you can get out and do a basil swim.
Well, exactly. It was the pasta. Oh, it was be the pasta. I love it. So it was an amazing experience. Well, when I went this time, I was staying at a place, you know, I was about an hour and a half away and found out that there was this friend of a friend who wanted me to meet with their sons and blah, 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 blah. Well, as it turns out, this family are the people who owned the basil fields. Mm. You know, I mean, it's a big place. There's lots of stuff going on. And so And the person that I was doing some work with was the members of the family. And it was interesting because one of them, when we were working, and I don't want to give away names and dates and stuff, but one of them came up with this belief that they weren't, didn't matter what they did, it wasn't good enough. They weren't enough, you know? And I think that that's a pretty common response for people. A lot of people have that feeling. And I said, you know, normally I would just do a straight up repatterning, and I'd like to do a repatterning, you know, around that being enough and welcoming that in. But I just said to him, you know, let me tell you a story about your basil fields. You know, I said, yesterday when I was driving up here, the person who, you know, knows us both pointed out and said, those basil fields belong to the family you're going to be working with. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Those are my basil fields that I've been thinking about for a year. And I said, let me tell you what I've been using that for. And I said, so, you know, you're,
overseeing these people, the workers, and you're, you know, helping ship this stuff off. And it's, and I said, you have no idea what your fields gave me as a gift. I said, let me tell you about how meaningful it's been to me. And so I told him about how whenever I was having a tough time, or I'd be at the grocery store and I'd just breathe in the basil, and I would be immediately back to the gentleness and the peacefulness of those fields and the vastness of it. And, you know, I mean, we're talking, they ship something like 150,000 pounds of organic basil. Like, we're not talking a little bit here. That's a lot of pesto, you know? And as I was speaking to him about the experience that his work had in my life that he had been completely oblivious to, I said, can you imagine that there's also other people that your work is touching that you don't know about? And I said, don't you think it's awesome that, you know, here I live thousands of miles away, a chance that I was there for like a week a year ago, I'm back now at the end of the year, and we're meeting? Like, don't you think there's a message here that we need to really pay attention, that even the smallest things we do have these huge repercussions? And this is at the same time as the Mandela stuff is happening on television. And, you know, I think that probably Nelson Mandela thought that what he was doing was just being him, just showing up as him. And yet the world saw the light that he brought and the light that he shone. And, you know, if I had a wish for everyone for the end of this year, it would be that just you're enough just the way you are. Mm-hmm. You know, and
one of my favorite stories I read about Mandela this week was just someone who had met him and was so excited about meeting him. Just an ordinary person getting a chance to meet Nelson Mandela. And they were so excited. And when they finally got the chance to go up and say hello and shake their hand, Mandela said to him, it's an honor to meet you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he was so stunned. He didn't know what to say.
Right.
But I think that's part of who he was, that he saw everyone as worthy.
So let's just do a quick repatterning around that, and just that being enough and claiming your own light as the light is coming back to the world. And then we're going to take a quick break and let people think about that for a little while. And, you know, just focus on that. And then we're going to come back with your song, Rejoice, Rejoice, because I think that it would fit in really well at this point. So we're going to start with a repatterning. So I'm going to say on the left hand of the left side of the line is that not good enough, not worthy, all that gunk. Sorry for the technical term, but we all know what that stuff is. And so on the upside of the line might be, Eileen, what kinds of things?
Feeling strong, feeling worthy, seeing your light reflected back to you from other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, being authentic, being real, and so you might want to think about, what is it about Nelson Mandela that made a difference in your world? And if you're noticing it, that means there's a spark of that in you as well that you're noticing, so that it could be that. So anyone can pick the word that they would like to repattern towards here. I personally am going to choose, deserving. What would you like to choose, Eileen?
Shining.
Shining? Okay. So we'll use shining and deserving. And anyone listening in can do whatever words they want to when we say shining and deserving. Okay. And we're just going to go back and forth and kind of tandem this one, Eileen. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I forgive myself for believing that I'm not enough just by being me. I forgive myself for believing that I'm not enough just by being me.
I forgive myself for believing that my light is too dim to shine out.
Forgive myself
for believing that my light is too dim to shine out.
I give myself permission to let go of all that old ick as the year ends and claim my light.
I give myself permission to let go of all that old ick and shine out as the year ends. I give myself permission to feel myself turn as the earth turns towards the light.
I give myself permission to feel myself turn as the earth turns towards the light. I choose to see where I am shining and deserving and expand it.
I choose to see where I am shining and deserving and expand that. I choose to blow a gentle breath upon the sparks that I find within me and blow them into a beautiful flame.
I choose to blow a gentle breath of the sparks I find within me and blow them into a gentle flame. I'm free to see that everyone is shining and deserving.
I am free to see that everyone is shining and deserving. I am free to reflect the light that others shine back to them and let them do the same for me.
I am free to reflect the light that others shine back to them and let others do the same for me. I can focus on the ick of others, or I can focus on how they are shining and deserving. I choose to focus on shining and deserving.
I can focus on the ick of others, or I can focus on the shining and deserving. I choose to focus on the shining and deserving.
I'm free to acknowledge how I am shining and deserving and expand it.
I'm free to acknowledge how I am shining and deserving and expand that. I am free to rejoice in the shining light that I can be.
I'm free to rejoice in the shining light that I can be.
I'm free to light my own way and to light the ways of others.
I'm free to light my own way and to light the ways of others. And I think maybe we'll just stop the repatterning at that place, because the next stage is the affirmation where we're looking for examples. And so I think this is a perfect time for each of us to just reflect on where we have shone this last year and where we have been deserving of good things. And maybe, you know, if you're having a little bit of a challenge with that, think about what your closest friend would say about you and what they find that shines in you. And so, you know, I think it's pretty clear Eileen and I are good friends. And one of the things that I would say about Eileen that I really value is her creativity and her poetry and the way that she speaks. I really value that in her. And so, you know, that might be one of the things that she could write down about, you know, when in this time of reflection. So we're going to take a quick break. Just think about the things that you know that you bring, that the shines that, you know, we talked about the gifts that you bring last week, and just focus on that and rejoice in those things. And we're going to be back in a couple of minutes. You're listening to Flipping the Switch. I'm Suze Casey, and we're on CTR Network. We'll be back in a few.
This is Suze Casey, and I'm passionate about helping people flip the switch to positive thoughts. And through belief repatterning, I'll support you. I invite you to sign up for my newsletter on SuzeCasey.com. That's SuzeCasey.com. You can also order an autographed copy of Belief Repatterning, find out about individualized coaching with me, or join one of my online courses. Know you can and will repattern anything you choose. SuzeCasey.com. You've learned it, now live it. You've read the books and studied the theories, but the practical application is hanging you up. Are you tired of beating yourself up for not living what you know to be true? This is Suze Casey, and I invite you to integrate your learning through easy-to-practice exercise found in my book, Belief Repatterning, the amazing technique for flipping the switch to positive thought. It's available through HayHouse.com or your local bookstore.
If you spoke to your friends the way you speak to yourself, how many friends would you have? Most of us are very aware of the damage the words of others do to our perception of ourselves. But what we aren't as aware of is the severity of the damage we do to ourselves with the insistent chatter of our inner critic. More than the words of others, it is our own self-talk that determines our outcomes, whether success or stuck, in all areas of our lives. I'm Suze Casey, encouraging you to move through that old limiting self-talk with a one-on-one session. You'll find all our licensed practitioners on beliefrepatterning.com. That's belief, B-E-L-I-E-F, repatterning, R-E, the word pattern, P-A-T-T-E-R-N-I-N-G.com. We all offer individual sessions and ongoing coaching programs. Know you can and will repattern anything you choose.
My gran used to say, a penny for your thoughts, and you know that a mindful daily practice is effective, but who has the time? What if there was a simple, practical, and profound way to focus your subconscious mind? 365 Repattern is an app that sends you a focus word and a positive thought every day, 365 days. Based on my book, Belief Repatterning, The Amazing Technique for Flipping the Switch to Positive Thoughts, 365 Repattern, you can get it at your app store, Android or iPhone. Your thoughts are worth it, and I'm Suze Casey reminding you.
Make real changes today. This is Flipping the Switch with Suze Casey.
Well, welcome back. I'm Suze, and this is Flipping the Switch. And today our topic is rejoice in the returning of the sun and the returning of the light. And rejoice in the accomplishments of the year. Just like, let's just rejoice. And my guest today is Eileen McGann, and I'm so glad to have you on air with me today, Eileen. Any reflections from that activity over the break?
Well, I was thinking about just all the people who have shone their light on me this year. And how grateful I am for them. And of course, you always do, Suze. You shine like a beacon. Mm-hmm. And but there's so many people who in different ways have shone their light on me this year. And I was feeling appreciation for that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you know, I know we talked in November about gratitude piece and that, you know, and appreciation to yourself that you're open to that and that it can happen, you know, and just, I just, you know, it saddens me when I think that people feel that they aren't deserving and worthy. You know, just think of young children when they're first born. Think of a newborn that you've held, and they're just deserving and shining just because they showed up. They didn't have to do anything. They didn't have to accomplish anything. And yet you've accomplished all kinds of things in this past year that you can use to add to that already shine and deserve. That's just your birthright. It's just your birthright. So, yeah. Well, I think this is a perfect time for us to have you lead us into the rejoice song and just, you know, thinking about the things that you've accomplished this year and the things that, you know, how other people have shone their light. Eileen, anything that you want to just transition in here to the rejoice song?
The song is really about some of the universal images of this time of year, of the solstice time, of the looking for wisdom, looking for brightness, and how things can change even when they seem dark and sad. And dreaming of the joy that's going to come is part of what will bring it to you.
Okay, so Eileen McGann, Rejoice, Rejoice. This is from her album, 2000 Years of Christmas, that was done by a group called Trilogy, which she was one of the three members of. And it's a beautiful This Time of Year CD, and you can get it from CD Baby if you're interested, or Eileen McGann's website, which is EileenMcGann.com. So rejoice, rejoice.
The night was still, and the darkness lay upon the snow like a deep-dyed woolen blanket on a baby's cheek. And the wise one searched, knowing that their wisdom lay in searching and in understanding what to seek. Suddenly within the night a brightness broke the dark, like a trumpet blast breaks silence, like a word can break confusion, like a smile breaks a face that grows in sorrow. Rejoice, rejoice at the advent of a star. It shines its love on rich and poor and guides us from afar. Rejoice, rejoice at the turning of the earth. The coming of the sun again, the promise of rebirth. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Shepherds watched their shivering flocks and wondered what was sheep and what was drifting snow. And the children slept, dreaming dreams of heart's desire and wondering what joy their hearts would come to know. Suddenly within the night a brightness broke the dark. Like a trumpet blast breaks silence, like a word can break confusion, like a smile breaks a face that grows in sorrow. Rejoice, rejoice at the advent of a star. Shines its love on rich and poor and guides us from afar. Rejoice, rejoice at the turning of the earth. The coming of the sun again, the promise of rebirth. Rejoice at the advent of a star that shines its love on rich and poor and guides us from afar. Rejoice, rejoice at the turning of the earth, the coming of the sun again, the promise of rebirth.
And suddenly within the night, a brightness broke the dark. You know, I know you're not supposed to have favorite lines, but as the songwriter, Eileen, and the singer on that one, what's your favorite piece of that song? I know that there's a piece in every song that just kind of makes your heart shine even brighter. What is it in that one?
I like what follows on from that best. I think like a trumpet blast breaks silence, like a word can break confusion. Like a smile breaks a face that froze in sorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's my favorite line, because sometimes we get so... My vision of that was this picture I saw of a very elderly lady who turns and sees somebody coming to see her.
Mm.
And all those lines and wrinkles and deep indentations of a long life lived had been frozen in a expression of sadness, and the smile changed everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like the sun coming out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think for me, you know, I mean, that whole chorus is just, or that whole bridge or whatever it's called, I just love it. But I like the part that suddenly the brightness broke the dark. And I guess that's me in flipping the switch. You know, it's that it doesn't have to take a long time and be hard. It can be as simple as a smile that just melts away years of sorrow or worry, or, you know, a trumpet blast that takes the silence, or it can just be ease. It can just be joy. It can just be rejoicing.
A single word can break confusion, can break the confusion of a lifetime. Mm-hmm. A sudden understanding can come to us and change everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So if you've got any, those people who are listening, if you have any beliefs around that it has to be hard and take a long time, I'm thinking this would be a great time for us to do just a really quick repatterning. So do you want to do the repeats, Eileen? I'll do the, I'll just do a simple one.
Okay, sure.
So we're going to move from change has to be hard and take a long time into letting it be ease. Okay. So I forgive myself for believing change has to take a long time.
I forgive myself for believing change has to take a long time.
I forgive myself for believing it has to be hard.
I forgive myself for believing it has to be hard.
I give myself permission to let change happen this year with ease.
I give myself permission to let change happen this year with ease.
Give myself permission to let new things happen quickly and with ease.
I give myself permission to let good new things happen quickly and with ease.
Thanks for adding the good new things in. I was thinking as soon as I said it, I thought, oh, maybe we should make sure that they're on the right side of the line, those new things. Yeah. Okay. I can let change be hard and take a long time, or I can allow it to come with ease and be quick.
I can let change take a long time and be hard, or I can choose to make it come quick.
I choose to allow good things to come quickly and with ease.
I choose to allow good things to come quickly and with ease.
I'm free to be that smile that breaks the sorrow.
I am free to be that smile that breaks the sorrow.
I am free to be the word that breaks the confusion.
I am free to be the word that breaks the confusion.
I am free to be brightness and shine my light.
I am free to be brightness and shine my light.
I'm free to believe that what I do makes a positive difference in the world.
I am free to believe that what I do makes a positive difference in the world.
Even if I'm not seeing the evidence.
Even if I'm not seeing the evidence.
Because, you know, I suspect even Nelson Mandela, as aware as he was, would be stunned at the outpouring.
Yeah, no, don't you think? He would.
Yeah, because, you know, and just like the gentleman with the basil field was just completely unaware that this, you know, person that is a personal development person and writes books and does all kinds of things was just like completely mesmerized by his basil fields. And it's like the exact same basil field. Like that just kind of keep blows me away. It's just like, oh my goodness. Yeah.
Everything. We never know what the effect that, of the things that we do can have on other people and how that ripple can just keep going and going.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And you know, just believing. I mean, I know that there's been dark times in my career where I've gone, oh, anybody listening? Everybody thinks I'm crazy. You know, what am I doing? Blah, blah, blah. And I can get into that. And I don't as much anymore. But beginning, I used to. And I know that you've done the same in your music career.
Oh, yeah.
Wondering, what the heck? You know, because the bank account's not looking like it needs to. And, you know, people are telling you you're crazy and you're kind of thinking maybe you are. And then, you know, I suspect that anyone who has chosen to live in that authentic way, because so much of the world hasn't been, you know, of course it's going to feel awkward and a bit different, but let's just claim it. So I'm free to know I am shining and deserving and to let it come with ease.
I am free to know that I am shining and deserving and to let it come with ease.
The more I shine and am deserving, the more good change happens quickly.
The more I shine and feel deserving, the more good change happens quickly.
I know they're kind of long, but I'm trying to just tie it all together here and help people just really feel into that place of, you know, every choice you make, every word you speak, every action is rippling out and you have no idea where it's going. Mm-hmm. No idea where it's going. But if it's sent from that loving, authentic, shining place in your heart, it can only do good.
Often I felt in the past, you know, like you were just describing, why am I trying to make my living as a singer-songwriter and musician and Celtic singer? And like, that's not what's happening these days. And often when I'm feeling at my lowest about going forward with this, I'll get an email from somebody somewhere in the world who I've never heard of, who has been moved by one of my songs, and they felt the urge to tell me just when I needed it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so grateful when that happens, and mm-hmm. it helps keep me going.
Mm-hmm. And so just a reminder to, you know, reach out to the people that have made a difference, that have shone when you've been in a dark place, that, you know, just to reach out to them and let them know that they made a difference. I just felt so privileged to be able to let that young man know that his efforts make a difference. You know, it makes a difference.
And in a way that he didn't even imagine.
Oh, no. I had another interesting thing happen the other day. I was doing a talk at a Unity gathering here in Calgary, and a man came up to me at the end and he said, how long have you been doing this? And I said, well, you know, full time since 1999, and, you know, kind of surreptitiously before that, because I didn't really want anybody to know what I was doing because I thought they'd think I was weird. And he laughed and he said, you know, do you live up in the northwest end of the city? And I said, yeah, I do. And he said, I thought it was you. He said, the name sounded familiar and the repatterning sounded familiar. And he looked at me and he said, I met you like 12 or more years ago. And he said, my daughter took me to one of your information events. And he said, I don't expect that you remember me. And I said, I'm sorry, I don't. And he said, well, I didn't know exactly where you were, but he said it rang this bell, and he said, I came today, and he said, when I saw you, he said, you don't look the same as you did then, but your message is really strong. And he said, you spoke to me and gave me a message that changed my life and put me on a path of spiritual seeking. And he said, that was my first time. I was dragged there by my daughter. And he said, thank you. And I just kind of looked at him and I was like, you are so welcome. I'm so, you know, I have no recollection of that day. I know that I was doing that stuff. You know, I was just showing up and being me. And it made a huge difference in his life. And I said to him, please know that you coming and telling me is making even a bigger difference than I was able to make for you. Because having it come back, it's like, and then it allows those of us to be even that much more courageous and that much stronger and to show up in our authentic selves and shine that light that we are.
And at this time of gift giving, I think it's a reminder that one of the best gifts we can ever give to someone is to shine their light back to them, reflect it back to them, and show them how they've made a difference in the world.
Mm-hmm. And that's what Mandela did with that man that came up to see him. And I'm so honored to meet you. Mm-hmm. Just shone it back, because he could see the honor in the man's eyes and just shone it back to him. And so, yeah, oh, I love this time of year. I wanted to just do a little touch. Next week we're going to talk about intention setting, and, you know, if you feel like phoning in, Eileen, please do. And we'll be taking questions, and I'll be doing repatterning with people. But, you know, when I look to, like I said earlier, I do the review of the year about the accomplishments, and then I look, what do I intend for this year? And so my New Year's resolutions have become less of a specific materialistic nature and more of a emotional, spiritual intention.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. So, you know, any kind of thoughts around that?
Setting specific goals is not necessarily the best way to get where we want. I think it's the setting of the broader spiritual goals.
Mm-hmm.
This year I'm going to strive and learn how to be happy, how to stay on the right side of the line, these are the challenges. Not I'm going to, you know, make this much money, or I'm going to get that new whatever I'm thinking of, or I'm going to accomplish this in my career, or I'm going to get that new relationship going. Instead, it can often be more helpful to focus on the broader things. I'm going to be happy. I'm going to shine my light as brightly as I can. I'm going to reflect the light that people shine on me. And sometimes you'll find that you'll achieve your goals much more quickly and easily with those broader spiritual goals than with the specific practical ones. Mm-hmm. And you may also find that the goals you thought you wanted were not what your soul actually was striving for.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's that place of being. And, you know, just being focused on how you want to be. And so I really, really appreciate you joining me today, Eileen, and for bringing your beautiful song, Rejoice, Rejoice. For those people who want more information about Eileen McGann, you can find her on the BeliefRepatterning.com website. She's one of our practitioners. Or you can go to EileenMcGann.com and find her music and her art there. I really appreciate you listening this year. And thank you so much for being a part of the CTR network. And I will be back next year, next week, with looking at setting clear intention. And the new 365 Repattern app is available for download from your Android store or your Apple store, so that you get that little reminder, that daily reminder of how you want to be. I'm Suze Casey. You've been listening to Flipping the Switch. Thank you again to Eileen for joining us and being with us. And you can have two quick words just before we finish.
Thanks for having me here, Suze. It's always such a pleasure.
All right. Take good care.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Focus on the accomplishments of 2013, and we'll see you next year. I'm Suze. Remember, you can and will repattern absolutely anything you choose.